Luke chapter 15. I'm going to read you something you know. I say this often, I'm going to say it again. I like speaking on something you already know, because then I don't have to explain everything to you. You know it like I know it. But we're going to look at Luke 15, not in the gospel today, but just I want to speak to you about you and about me. Verse 15. Well, for connection, it's verse 11. I'm speaking to you about a certain man that had two sons. The younger of them said unto his father, "Give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his field to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Now verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, I'm going to add some stuff here because I want you to get this. He said, "Oh, I remember my brother. I remember my older brother." No. He said, "I miss my mother." He didn't. He said, "I remember the hired servants." How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and say unto my father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." Here it is again. I just want to be one of those hired servants. Strange, isn't it? And he arose and he came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." But the father said to his servants, these guys keep showing up. "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and let us kill it. And let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh the house and heard music and dancing, and he called his father. No. He called one of the servants. May the Lord bless his word. This is something for every one of you and me. It's not going to be real deep, but I think it's really important. Usually when we think of Luke 15, it's the father and the son, and they are the main characters of the story. But you really don't have a story if you don't have the servants. In fact, they don't even show up on the page until verse 17. The story starts in verse 1. But this part of the story starts in verse 11. And you don't even hear about them until verse 17. But they're there. And they're doing their work. They're hired to do it. And they're doing it. Pretty hard to work when you never get mentioned, isn't it? You find that hard? Let me talk to some of you young people. I can say that now because I'm an old man. Let me talk to some of you young people. You find it hard to work when you never get mentioned? I know some of the middle-aged people do. I know that for a fact. They find it really hard to do anything because they get overlooked all the time. They say, what's the use? I won't get any credit for it anyway. And by the time you get to be an old person, you got it figured out. It doesn't matter whether you get the credit for it or not. You just do the work. So check up on yourself. Does God have a work for you to do in the assembly where you are? Even if you never get mentioned? You don't get mentioned in verse 11? You don't get mentioned in the next verse 12? Verse 13 goes by, verse 14 goes by, verse 15, you think, I'll never get mentioned. No, you'll never get mentioned. You still going to do the work? A good servant does the work. The work he was hired to do. Just do the work. I want to encourage you. It's not about getting mentioned. It's about doing the work of the Father. You notice? They're servants of the Father. They're doing the Father's work. They're doing the Father's will. And they're just quietly doing it. Secondly, unknown to these servants quietly doing the work, they left an impression on a rebel son, on an unsaved boy, raised in a Christian home, brought up in the same assembly, went to the same Sunday school. And these unnamed servants, unmentioned servants, left a lasting impression on that boy. And when God began to deal with that boy, you know what they remembered? The work of the servants. So it's an important work. You know what a good servant does? He just does what he's told. That's what will make you a good servant. Doesn't give his opinion. You never read of their opinion in this. Did you notice that? Never gives what he wants to do. Never suggests to the Father, well, why don't we do it like this? No. A good servant just does what he's told quietly. Behind the scenes. And those good servants left such a lasting impression on that boy. When the Spirit of God began to deal with him in the pig pen in the far country, the first thing came to his mind was not the Sunday school. It wasn't his mother or his brother. When he thought about his father, he thought about the servants. How many hired servants? So there's, I enjoyed my brother's word yesterday and today, but I got thinking, you know, this isn't against you, brother. I got thinking, he was speaking about some of you young men. Out of the 300 or 400 people that are here, I think yesterday was 450 people here, okay? How many of those young men are going to end up as elders in the future? Not likely 50. So there's 400 of you that got left out. Not likely 25. In fact, it'd be really good if one of you took that to heart. Be really successful if there's one young man here that made up his mind, I'm going to live for the Lord. And I'm going to start putting my life in order. But what about the other 449 of us? I want to speak to you, 449. Every single one of you can be a servant. Every single one. You don't have to be brilliant. You've got to be obedient. You have to be willing. And every single one of us are called to serve the Lord. When he thought about these servants, he didn't just say, oh, I remember Malchus, that servant. No, no. He said, the hired servants. How many hired servants? What's that tell us? He knew that those men had a job to do. They were hired to do a work, and they did it. They weren't just fluttering around the house. These fellows weren't just occupying a seat in the assembly. They were there for a reason. Are you? They weren't just saved to go to heaven. They were doing a work. They were particularly hired to do a work. And when this boy came to himself, when this boy started thinking correctly, you know what he remembered? The work of those men. They did their work. They impressed him with the work that they did. There's a work to be done. God has called us all to that work. Do you know? You know what that wicked Pharaoh did in Egypt? Some of you never think of this, but because you don't think like me. I'm kind of off the path here. But you know what that wicked man did? He took God's people who were supposed to be building for God, and he said, I'll get God's servants to build my world. And he got them so occupied with building his work, doing his work, that they couldn't do God's work. Whoa. Anybody here so occupied with the work in this world that you can't do God's work? Remember, you've been saved for a reason. They were hired servants. And this is probably what brought it to his mind, because he's sitting down feeding pigs. That's plain English. He's sitting down with the pigs, feeding the pigs, and he's envious of the pigs because they had something to eat and he didn't. That's pretty low when you look up to a pig. And instantly it came to his mind. Do you notice he didn't say how much food was on my father's table? He didn't say how much food his brother had or how good of a cook his mother was. He remembered that the lowest people in his house had bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. He realized this, that a wise father, someone that's in a good relationship with the Father, is well fed. And God's servants are well fed. God has a full menu for his servants. God has all the instructions you need You don't have to go anywhere else for it. It's all right here. They had bread enough and to spare. The servants. And suddenly a son is higher than a servant. I hope you know that. A son is higher than a servant. Suddenly the son longs to be a servant and to be fed from the Father. Can I encourage you? You heard yesterday from our brother, if a man desire the office of an overseer, he desires a good work. Is there anyone here that longs to be a servant? Any desire to serve the Lord? I don't mean overseas. I don't mean in Bakawana land. I mean right where you are. You know where these servants served? In the Father's house. Right in the house where you are. Right in the assembly where you are, sister. Do the other sisters know that you're a servant? I'm just talking to the brethren now. Do the others look at you and say, she's a good servant? Any desire to be a servant? You see, when you serve others in the house, you're serving the Father. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus? In that ye did it unto the least of one of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. They served the Lord by serving each other. They had bread enough and to spare. The Father knows. He'll feed you. You just do the work. I find it interesting that the Father is out looking for the Son. I would take it it was a daily thing with the Father. It wasn't just every once in a while he'd go to the top of the hill and see if the Son was coming. For the Father to see the Son when he was down the street? No. A great way off. He had to be looking. What were the servants doing while the Father was out looking for the Son? They were with him. Doesn't say that? It does. Because when the Father ran and fell on his neck and kissed him, listen to what he did. He turned to the servant. How'd the servant get there? He turns to the servant. Well, there's only one way they got there. When the Father ran, they ran. They had to be looking with the Father. Why were they looking when the Father was? Why were they even looking in the same direction as the Father? Because these servants were all taken up with the Father and the Father's will and the Father's heart and the Father's mind. Nobody gave them the command. We don't read it. Come, let's run. Let's go look for the Son. Come, there's my Son. Quick, run with me. No, no. They just went because they knew the Father's will. Do you know the Father's will? Only one way you're going to know that. You're going to have to spend some time with the Father. You spend the time with him? You have a quiet spot where the Father can speak to you and you can speak to the Father? You'll never be able to serve him if you don't listen to him. You've got to listen to his word. You know what will happen if you start listening to his word? You'll start anticipating what he wants. And so when the command doesn't even come, you'll already know. I know what he's going to say. I know what he wants. A good servant knows his will, and they do it without a command. Now, a bad servant, a rascal, says, he didn't say anything. I don't have to do it. That's not in there. I don't have to do that. Show me where I can't do that. Are you that kind of a person? Show me where the Bible says I can't do that. No. That's not these servants. These servants know the Father. They listen to the Father's heart. And when the Father is longing after the Son, how do I know that? Because when Big Brother comes in and asks the servants, what's going on in the house? They didn't just say, oh, there's a party going. No. Your Father has received your son, your brother, safe and sound, and he's put on a feast. They knew the heart of the Father. They knew the Father's heart rejoiced in this. That's why the servants are there. This is what the Father loved. And so the servants want to do what the Father loves. I hope you get the point. They're good servants. They know the Father's mind and will. You know, if I was the Father, I would say, okay, now, servants, go set the tables. Go set the tables. I got some private business to do here. I got a special closet that you boys don't know about. And in that closet, there's a robe. And there's a shoe rack with a pair of shoes on it. And in the top dresser drawer, there's a ring that I've been saving. You knew nothing. Well, that didn't happen, did it? How did these boys know where the robe was? You ever think of that? How did they know where the shoes were? Listen to what the Father says. You know that robe? Go get it. Bring forth that robe, the best one. Bring forth the shoes. Bring forth the ring. You would have thought the Father would have reserved that for himself to do. But by the grace of God, he gives it to the servants to do. You've just been hearing about it. Have you ever lifted someone up? God doesn't need you. He could do it. But he says, put the robe on him. You know the robe I'm talking about. Put the robe on him. Oh, the grace of God in allowing servants, just poor sinners that have been saved by grace, in allowing poor servants like us to be involved in that great work of restoring such a one overtaken in a fault, of bringing in the lost. Oh, it's not the servant's son. This my son was dead and is alive again, he says. My son was lost and he's found. Yes, it's only God can save him. But he shares that great work with you. Have you seen anybody brought to Christ this year? Sister, talk to anybody this year? Come on, it's already 5 months of the year gone. Don't wait till this summer. Have you talked to one soul? Have you put the shoes on one person's feet? Helped them walk? Saw them stumbling along barefoot? Listen to what the Father says. Put shoes on his feet. You can do it. I wonder if the servants were fighting over it. I'll get that. I would take it was those servants that were closest to the Father They just instantly went and got them, knew right where they were. Can you imagine the servant that knew right where that ring was? That's not just any ring now. That's the ring of sonship. And he knew right where to get it. Would you know where to get that? It's right in here. Please don't turn them to Ezekiel. You know what chapter, what book? He turned to just the right scripture at just the right time. And the son that was dead was made alive again. Marvelous servants. And God has given you that privilege to be that servant. And here's Big Brother. He's out in the field. Oh, the lights are coming on in the house. What in the world's going on in there? So he calls one of the servants. A little different word here. You know who this servant was? He was the youngest servant in the house. In fact, the word is just a lad. Just a young servant, a young lad. But he's in. You know that young lad sitting in the assembly? Maybe you're just a teenager here and you're in the house. You're in the assembly. Do you know what's going on? Or is it just kind of going on around you? No, this young man, this young boy, he knew everything that was going on in that house. He knew the heart of the father. He tries to tell the older brother, who didn't have a clue. He's just a carnal older brother. Been there for years. Been there before the servants were. Been there before my brother was here. I've been here forever. I know how it goes. No, he didn't know how it goes. And this young man tells him, your father, all heaven is rejoicing. A son has come home. A soul has been saved. And they've killed a fatted calf. There's rejoicing. There's joy in the... Here's a young boy that shares the joy of the father over a soul that's saved. When's the last time you shared that joy? That's what it's like to be in the assembly. That's what it's like to be part of the gospel meeting. Don't just leave it up to the preachers and the elders. Be a servant, even if you're a young one. Interesting. I found this interesting. Oh, what'd you ask? What's going on in the house? I don't know, sir. I'll run in and see what's going on in the house. Didn't say that. He knew. Do you know what's going on in the assembly? Oh, you know all the gossip. I'm not talking about that garbage. Do you know what's going on in the assembly? What it's doing? Do you know the heartbeat of it? Do you know the joy of it? If someone came to you and said, what happened there this morning? Could you tell them? That's what the boy asked. He hadn't been in the house for a while, evidently. He's out working in the field. He's doing the father's work. He knew nothing about loving service. Nothing about it. All these years do I slave for thee, is what he said. Ah, but there's a young boy in that house. Young man just in the assembly a few weeks, let's say. And he knows the joy. He knows what's going on in that place. And he gladly tells them, he says, you're missing out. I know you're the older brother, but you're missing out, sir. There's joy in there. There's a feast going on in there. And you need to get in because your father has received your brother safe and sound.